we were seeing a good process that we were seeing in practice. It was coming out in game. We had about 3 or 4 real good efforts before we finally got the results. Even in the Dallas game, we only had 1 power play. We didn't score, but we created a ton of momentum because of the scoring chances that were created off of it. That positive momentum then led to us scoring 2 5-on-5 goals to break that game open a couple minutes later. And that's the power play. You want to create momentum for your team. Certainly you want to score, which we did last night, but you want to create positive momentum with the process, with the habits, with the work ethic that goes into it.
Sabres assistant coach Seth Appert, we chatted with him on Tuesday. Happy Halloween. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Sneaky Joe. Is there a costume that goes with that?
What would a sneaky costume be? I would pick like a sneaky character from somewhere, I think is what I would do.
Who's the best sneaky character? A ninja?
The butler from Mr. Deeds.
The butler. A ninja's good too, though.
Yeah.
I just literally Googled, like, what were sneaky movie characters? Swiper the Fox.
Who's that?
From Dora the Explorer.
Oh. We're not a Dora household yet.
No?
No.
The snake from Jungle Book?
Ka?
You knew the name of the snake from Jungle Book off the top of your head?
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, we read some stories at night for kids, and one of them has Ka.
Okay. I don't know how you would dress as a snake, though, for... Well, there's probably a suit, but then you couldn't use your arms or anything.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. All right, some Sabre stuff in a moment. We'll reset where we are. We actually opened the show talking about like the worst Halloween candy. I named Smarties, and then Joe said he would pay $300 for a lifetime supply of Smarties when I feel like you should pay $8. But hey, that's okay.
Well, $8 wouldn't win the silent auction.
I think it might win the silent auction.
Well, someone Smarties. Else said $25.
All right, well, then that person would have them, and I'd just have to deal with it.
Well, no, I would be the one because I'm going to be 10 times more than what anybody else had bid.
You're going to sell them on the secondary market?
I'm the guy in Guillotine that bids. I'm like, oh, first time in Guillotine. Oh, look, Javonte Williams available, $400. Yeah. Nobody else bids $50.
So candy conversations out there. I tease going to the break, though. The Sabres are one of the most and one of the worst in two different things. We'll get to that and then get a call in. So Elliot Friedman in his 32 Thoughts wrote that the Sabres are active right now. That Kevin Adams is actively trying to add, one of the more active teams calling around trying to add to this roster. And that would not come as a surprise, right? Because it feels like this was a thing they should have done in the offseason and did not get accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So for Kevin Adams to maybe still be doing that would make sense. So that's part of it. There's your first half, is that the Sabres are one of the more active teams right now trying to add.
Isn't the only thing you could see them adding a top 6 forward?
Yes.
That's, like, obvious, isn't it?
Maybe
center, even at this point. Because we've wanted... Paul's talked about this a bunch. Maybe Cousins, there's a move to the wing in his future, and there's no opportunity to do it because you don't have another top 6 centerman. Unless you think Ryan McLeod is going to take that jump. You don't have another guy. You don't have the opportunity. Maybe it doesn't matter. Center, wing, whatever. Just somebody that is good that plays in the top 6.
Yep.
Although I don't know who's trading that guy at this point.
No, it's an odd time of year to trade no matter who you are.
Leafs Nation's talking about Marner all the time.
The
now,
Leafs did like just that, make a trade. They just traded Timothy Liljegren to San Jose.
Yeah.
Dump salary and some picks and
also,
stuff.
Also, Marner's just like a mega trade. Like, that's just, come on. Right?
Yep. Well,
it's too big. It feels like it's too big for them.
That's where the Sabres are one of the most. Where are the worst? MGM, Sports MGM, just released today a ranking of the arenas. The NHL arenas, first to worst. Mm-hmm. I opened that. I clicked, fully expecting. I'm like, where's this going to land? Where is KeyBank Center going to land on this ranking NHL arenas?
You asked me, and I guessed like last.
You guessed correct.
Yeah.
Last. 32. Last. Worst arena in the league.
It
has a new roof, has a new Jumbotron, has new food items. I mean, they've made improvements in the last couple of years, and I don't know exactly how meticulous this process was, but ranked last. So, active on the trade front, worst arena.
I don't really notice how subpar the arena is until I go to Toronto, which only is once in a while. But like last year, I went to that arena, which, by the way, like that wasn't number one on this list. They were 14th. Like middle of the pack NHL arena.
Yeah.
And you're walking around, it's like you just jumped into the future. Like it's a spaceship in comparison. But yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. You want to throw a thought our way? You can. Jets and Texans tonight. We are Jets fans rooting for the Jets to get it. Even though it's fun to watch them lose. This is the good part.
I don't know that I can. I don't think I can do it. Let me tell you why I can do it.
It's why it's a no-lose situation. You root for the Jets to win. If they don't, whatever. LOL. Even when I wanted you to win just a mercy game to hand the Texans a loss, you still lost anyway. LOL. So you're not really investing, but I don't think there's any doubt you want to talk about playoff seeding and where the Bills are going to be in relation to the Texans. You want the Jets to win this game.
Do you know why? You know why I think I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to tell myself it's okay to root for the Texans in this game is I believe there are enough tough games left on Houston's schedule where they're going to get their losses. The team is not as good as their record. I don't think that team is as good as its record right now. Losing Diggs hurts a lot, and they next week play the Lions on Sunday Night Football.
That's yeah.
They also still have the Chiefs and the Ravens on their schedule.
Like, yeah, I would pick them to lose all those games.
I can find losses for Houston down the road without them losing to the Jets. I am almost as much as the Bills winning
is
this
the
year
Jets
in 6-2. I think I'm enjoying the Jets being 2-6 more.
It's pretty good.
I think it's one of my favorite things that's ever happened in football. Is this Jets team being this bad, firing the coach, trades that don't work, just everything. I think it all is amazing. It's the best story of the year.
I would say that is a defendable position that you like the Jets being bad more, because the Bills being this good is totally normal.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm used to this.
Yeah, it's totally normal.
6-2
And what the Jets are doing is...
I guess that's also normal, but not normal when they had expectations.
Right, with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. All right, 803-0550. Eric and Elma is next up as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So my question is about Keon Coleman. So it seems like the past 2 weeks he's taken a pretty crazy jump. Coincidentally, around the time we got Amari Cooper, how much of that jump do you attribute to Amari Cooper? Are Keon's plays coming a lot of the time when Cooper is on the field, or is this just kind of Keon finally kind of reaching his full potential?
So, yeah, thanks, Eric. I saw one thing on Coleman that really jumps out, and I do not think this is an Amari Cooper point. So he sees single coverage more than almost anybody.
Coleman?
Yeah.
For the year?
For the year.
Okay. Because that's what I was wondering. Like, has that changed since Cooper got here?
Coleman sees single coverage. So, yeah, I mentioned Judah Forking on Twitter at Throw the Damn Ball. That's DAMBALL. Wide receivers seeing percentage of routes against single coverage. Keon Coleman leads the NFL.
Hmm.
Separation facing single coverage. Keon Coleman does not separate against single coverage. This, you know, you'll see different metrics of how well he's not a separator. He's not supposed to be a separator, and he's not separating. He is getting single coverage, and I think what's happened is he's maybe just grown up a little bit and learned more about how to play the position, more of a connection with Josh Allen. You know, there's a pass that hits him in the back of a helmet a couple weeks ago. Fast forward 2 weeks, and what does he do? He takes it 50 yards. Like, that's a small difference in knowing the play. So
there are
would you disagree there?
No.
I can't say it's going to be Cooper's presence, because if he's the number one single covered guy in the league this year, it's only been 2 weeks of Amari Cooper, and there were 6 weeks without him.
Yeah. I'm watching on NFL Pro some of the catches he had back last week, and like the 25-yarder he had. Like, if you're looking at this play pre-snap, it's Tariq Woolen, who is their best corner.
Yep.
But it's him versus Coleman on an island. Those two people are by themselves, and Cooper's got bracketed coverage on the other side.
Yeah, so...
Like, so that's going to be, well, I guess more normal. Maybe it's already as normal as it can be. Him just... He's going to get lined up one-on-one.
And that's something that... I think we talked about this with Joe Marino yesterday, that a lot of teams will do that. We'll take our best corner and put him on your second best guy.
And then we're going to pay more attention.
We'll bracket the other guy.
That's what they did. It looks the couple of plays that went to Coleman, They all kind of look the same. They all look like they're kind of leaning over towards the Cooper side, and they're just trusting Wolin to cover Coleman.
And this is an example of the Seahawks gambled and lost. They thought Rick Wolin will cover Keon Coleman today and we'll be fine. And he wasn't. He got a pass interference. He gave up a touchdown. He gave up big plays.
There were a couple 20-yard plays.
I bet he had good score in coverage, but Coleman has a pretty good win rate at the catch point. So, like, who separates the most or who gets double teamed the most percentage of routes against single coverage? You know, you've got names up and down the board, but the separators are the guys you think they are. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Zay Flowers, Chris Olave.
Oh, look, a Coleman pass out of the slot, by the way. Did you notice that last week?
I did.
I hadn't noticed that. The one down the inseam that went for 21 yards?
That's one where...
That was in him in the slot?
I think that's where Cooper will give him a little more flexibility. So,
rare because he's played... That's like maybe his 11th snap of the year in the slot. Like, he hasn't been doing it a lot.
Very, very fast exercise here with me, if you will. Redrafting the wide receivers. What's the order? If there's a redraft of the rookie receivers right now...
Ooh, I like this.
Neighbors is one.
Neighbors is one. He has a 99 open score on ESPN now.
Yes, Neighbors is one. Who's two?
Harrison's two.
Ahead of Brian Thomas Jr.? Brian Thomas Jr. has been very, very good.
Yes.
But sure, Harrison two?
Harrison two.
Brian Thomas Jr. three?
Brian Thomas three. I would still go a Dunze four.
Okay.
I think he's the third guy, it's tough.
He's doing good things. Okay.
And they're also running a lot now.
Okay. You think Coleman right after that? I mean, he's got to beat out. Leggett's been fine.
I think yes. Leggett's been good, but not
Pearsall,
as good.
It's impossible. He hasn't played enough.
Yep.
Worthy.
Worthy looks. The difference is Worthy looks useful, but Coleman looks like he's showing you signs that there's a complete wide receiver in there.
I would say.
And I don't think Worthy, just because of his size, ever has that. That might be okay. He can still be a very productive player.
Yeah.
But. Kansas City has to use him in specific ways. And I wonder if Coleman... The question with him is, could he play the X? And if he can do that, I already feel like I feel good, pretty confident he can do the slot stuff. I feel like Coleman might just be a more well-versed player.
There's a future here, the next 10 games, whatever. So
Coleman over Worthy. Yeah.
You are the Dolphins, and you see what happened to Seattle. You think, put our best corner on him. Let's just do it. We're not gonna double him. We're gonna double Cooper, and we're gonna try and win the way that Seattle couldn't win. And then next week it's Indianapolis, who don't have very good corners. And the week after that it's Kansas City.
Right.
And then it's San Francisco. You know, when will he get more attention than just single coverage? Because again, to this point he's faced the highest percentage of single coverage in the NFL.
Right.
And I wonder when that changes. Because you learn that.
Well, is that where Cooper's presence could be important? That if Coleman grows and Coleman earns more respect from defenses, they won't be able to react the way they could have before.
They'll have to pick one.
You're not going to leave Cooper by himself.
You wouldn't think. You'll have to gamble.
That's where, like, that's almost proactive, I think, is maybe Cooper hasn't made a huge impact on Coleman yet, but it'll allow him to continue to see these matchups. Because I do think that. I think if Coleman had these last two games and Amari Cooper wasn't on the other side of the field, every team going forward would say, we're gonna lean more towards his side. And now they probably can't do that.
803-0550. Thanks for the call. Rookies of the year. By the way, who's the offensive rookie of the year?
Jane Daniels.
It is? Okay, good. I don't disagree.
I think he's a massive favorite.
You know Brock Bowers is on pace to set the rookie receiving record in terms of catches?
Rookie receiving record for tight ends?
No. Period. Brock Bowers on pace to set the rookie receptions record. Yep.
Come on. What does he have on here?
He's on pace for 111.
He has 52 catches already?
Yep. It's a great year for offensive rookies. Bowers, Daniels, Neighbors, Brian Thomas Jr., Harrison, Coleman.
52
catches, Brock Bowers. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550.
I think he's number one in the NFL. I think he's number one in the NFL in catches. He is. Garrett Wilson's number two with 51. Brock Bowers has the most catches in football.
And he's not even considered rookie of the year.
I,
Yep.
I'm blown away that he leads the league in catches right now.
What a draft class. All right. Jeremy and Joe, 8:30, we're going to get Colts guest. Zach Hicks going to join us to talk about the Richardson decision. We're wide open. Happy Halloween. It's going to be 74 today. Beautiful, beautiful. Hang out with us here on WGR.